The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
When your inner world feels messy and out of control, maybe your unhealed wounds are clouding your mind.
Is it possible that a word from God is standing in the long line of your overthinking? So it's not that God isn't speaking. It's behind trauma. It's behind rejection. It's behind bitterness. It's behind grudge. God is speaking to you, but there's a long line of overthinking, worst case scenario, catastrophizing.
From hurt to healing, next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. It's great to be with you today. We've got some encouragement for you today. My guest has a book called Heart Rehab. It was written by Jerry Flowers Jr., and Jerry is the founder of Redefined TV. He's a pastor down in the great city of Houston, Texas, at a church called Time of Celebration Ministries Church. And so we're glad to have him because he's got some really good, encouraging words for you today. So stick around. Jerry, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
Yeah? Is your heart rehabbed today?
I believe so. I think it's still in the process.
Yeah, you know what? And that's it. That's it. Tell us a little bit about just this whole concept of of heart rehab, because, you know, a lot of people are dealing with some real heartache these days.
Yeah. So it started off noticing a pattern that when my wife and I would have counseling sessions, I'm like, we just dealt with that in the sermon. And it was the exact same type of questions. And I recognized trauma could be so severe that they're not even really hearing what I'm saying. Mm. So if scripture tells us to love your neighbor like you love yourself, but if you don't love yourself, we're going to have a little issue with that.
Right, right.
So heart rehab is all about discovering the you that God originally created for you to be, healing so that it won't eclipse your destiny and your purpose. So that's really the theme of the book.
All right. When you were, you say you and your wife were in counseling. Were you in counseling together or were you doing the counseling?
We do both.
You do both?
We do both. But okay. we were administering the counseling, and it was just trauma could be so loud, pain could be so loud that you're not hearing anything and you're in a place that's trying to spiritually edify you.
Yeah.
So this is really the vision behind the book.
We got a lot of childhood wounds that people never seem to get healed. What are some of the truths from scripture that free us from that?
Yeah, well, of course, scripture tells us to be renewed we could be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So it starts with identifying those mind wounds, those mental wounds. And one of the things I always inform our members, friends, is if you could trace it, you can unlearn it. Mm-hmm. So there's a difference in coming out of a thing due to repercussions versus coming out of a thing due to reprogramming. So when your mind is renewed, that is where I could see where the knot formed that was causing for me to respond like that versus me just having behavior modification I'm trying to change. Yeah.
What you're saying is you need to quit thinking that way, right?
Yeah. If you could trace it, you could unlearn it. And so an analogy I use, if somebody burglarizes your home and they don't have a mask on, it's easier to identify them. But if they have a mask on, then it's harder to identify. And I think sometimes wounds are mask thieves. Mm. They're robbing intimacy. They're robbing joy. And so with the book, we unmask them. We take the mask off. This is what it is. This is the thief of abandonment. This is the thief of rejection. But how do we get them out of the house so we can be healed?
How much of our healing is, because we can't, I don't think we can really fully heal ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can, people help, mm-hmm. right? Counseling is great. We can read scripture, but ultimately it's a work of the Holy Spirit, is it not?
Yeah. It's definitely a process. It's similar to when I fractured my shin. If I stomp hard enough, I still kind of feel it. And this was when I was, 22? So certain times there's healing that God gives you the grace to continue to pursue. And then there are other things where you could be totally healed from it to where I'm no longer triggered from things. So the goal is to be like a whole glass that could quench a thirst versus a broken glass starts to cut you.
I know there's no formula.
Yeah.
Right? But are there some general places
Awareness. Yeah. That is so huge. Are you aware of your attitude? Are you aware of your trigger? How your mood shifts from day to day? I think that's where it begins. If you can't see it, it's going to be hard to diagnose it. Mm. But when you recognize, I need to go to the doctor because this cough is lasting.
Right.
It's the awareness part.
Yeah, and I think that's where the Holy Spirit really comes in.
Absolutely.
And we have, you know, sort of church words for them like conviction.
Yeah.
Which is key. Yeah. Repentance, which is agreeing with God that that is a messed up place in my life, mm-hmm. and now I'm going to turn from it. Yeah. But God promises to do what we can't do on our own.
Yeah.
I think some of the red flags are helpful. In other words, if we've got, our heart needs to be rehabbed.
Yeah.
There are some red flags that will definitely say there is a problem here, and that ultimately that's helpful.
Yes.
I got a few that you talk about that come to mind. Is there anything that comes to mind with you?
In the book, we speak about a relational autopsy. What was the cause of death to this relationship? Did I kill it? Did we kill it? Was this a relational homicide? If every single thing you go through is always them, then we have an awareness problem. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it starts with being aware of what did I contribute to this? How did I miss this? How do I keep falling for counterfeits? And then I think that's the pathway where the Lord and the Holy Spirit begins to open your eyes to patterns.
Yeah. Well, we play the victim, right?
Yes.
Do we not?
Yeah.
We blame everybody else. And our culture's gotten really bad at that, it seems like.
Yeah.
You've seen quite a bit of that?
It's always them. Like, no, sometimes the red flag is you. Sometimes the counterfeit is us. Sometimes the Lord is protecting them from us.
Yeah.
And so I just think that takes awareness to recognize when you could say, I wasn't healed enough to value that relationship at the time.
Mm-hmm.
That shows growth. A relationship will always show you what you're not educated or don't have skills in. It's amazing. If you want to be a doctor, you go to school. If you want to be a cosmetologist, you go to school. Where do you go to love? Mm. And there's so many people who are getting in God institutions and trying to keep God out, but then run to God when I feel all the pain. Mm. And so that's what we strive to do. Provide the healing and then also the theology to help them understand the God of the Bible.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because 1 Peter has this path to the kingdom of God, which is the rule of reign. You know, Jesus said, your kingdom come, your will be done. So how does God's will done in our life? And he goes through this whole thing. It starts with diligently applying ourselves, right? And there's multiple steps. Kind of in the middle of it is godliness, which I would think would be the ultimate goal of things.
Yes,
but it's not. It's on the path.
Yeah.
The ultimate goal is love.
Come on.
Where do we go to learn to love? Well,
that
is the ultimate source, the only source of perfect love, which is Christ. So, I mean, if someone's dealing with the trauma, if they've got the childhood wounds, they're living out these repeated patterns of destruction, whether it's destroying themselves or the other relationships, is there anywhere they can go to learn to break those patterns and to learn to love other than Christ?
No. No, because here's the thing. Let's use marriage. Marriage is a God-made institution.
Mm-hmm.
So for marriage to work, God must be in the institution. God is love. So if you're trying to do anything in the name of the Lord, like I want to love her or love him, I need God to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the disconnect is we're really confusing lust and infatuation and affection with love.
Mm.
Because love truly is sacrificial. Love keeps no record of wrong.
Mm.
Love is patient. What is patient? It's the ability to survive the season of not yet. Oh,
yeah,
you need the Holy Spirit to do that.
Yeah, no.
All of these attributes really do require the Holy Spirit's intervention in your own life. And I think that starts with being aware of you.
How do you get past that tendency, that pattern to just see the worst possible outcome?
Yeah.
Because half the time it's self-fulfilling prophecy when you live that way.
I think sometimes we have to identify how is my overthinking playing the role in my own suffering. In the book, I have a chapter, I believe it's chapter 4, entitled Your Mind is Too Crowded.
Okay.
And in the book, I said, is it possible that a word from God is standing in the long line of your overthinking? So it's not that God isn't speaking. It's behind trauma. It's behind rejection. It's behind bitterness. It's behind grudge. God is speaking to you, but there's a long line of overthinking, worst case scenario, catastrophizing. You start to underappreciate valleys. Mm. I think that's one of the main contributing factors is we underappreciate where we are because we're exposed to where everybody else is.
In other words, if there is something unjust that has happened to you and you need justice, trust his justice more than your own.
Yeah.
Right? If you need closure from someone who's never going to give it to you, get that closure from God.
Yeah.
You know, if you need peace, I love my wife, but if my peace hinged on my wife and my children when they were growing up, or, you know, even my work, and I work in a great place, right, with Christians, yeah. If that's where my hope and my peace and my joy ultimately comes from, it's going to be a bumpy ride.
Come on.
Because people are people.
Yeah.
So in order to get rid of those things that are in front of God's word speaking to me, I think the ultimate answer is surrendering them. Have you experienced that?
But you have to do the work. See, the word works, but you have to work it. You have to do the work. So a basic example, if I say picture in your mind a brown horse, you could do that. Mm-hmm. If I say now picture a black horse, you could do that. You just showed me you have the power to change your thoughts, right?
Yeah.
So what is overthinking? Yeah. It's a misuse of your creative self. Look how creative we are, creating horror stories in our mind that may never happen.
Right.
So it starts with recognizing just on that basic brown horse, black horse, you have the power to change your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
It just takes the practice, the discipline. And the number one way to do that is have a prayer life. Because when you pray, you have to cast stuff down.
Yeah.
Who won the game? Focus on Jesus. What am I going to eat? Focus on Jesus. So people who usually do not have a consistent prayer life, I notice it's a harder time for them to cast down things because prayer trains the mind to cast down.
Yes, it does. That's that surrender I'm talking about.
Yes, sir.
And yes, I did the whole catastrophe thing just yesterday when my plane hit a little bit of turbulence. And here I go, oh no, you know, where are we going? There's nowhere to, anyway. And that's the tendency. But you know, in order to renew our minds, and God does the renewing, I really think the casting down, the letting go is just kind of getting out of His way sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
How has that changed in your life, even the way you see God?
So in ministry, there's so many unpredictables, right? I understand that the Lord changeth not. He's the same yesterday, today, forevermore. My purpose is written in permanent marker. But the steps that the Lord has taken me are written in pencil. And I think that's like, stop trying to permanent marker how it should be. Render the pen. What you're talking about, that's surrender. Render the pen. Lord, whatever you say, which direction you think, and recognizing that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Mm-hmm. So instead of viewing it as disappointment, I view it as God is ordering my steps. And I think it's all in perspective shifting.
Yes, yes.
Surrendering and shifting your perspective.
Yeah. And that does change the way you see God, because you see He's not someone who's out to get you for the things you've done wrong, but someone who really wants to finish what He started.
Yeah.
To perfect you, not to make you flawless, but to make you whole.
So good.
Which is that heart rehab that you're talking about.
Yes, sir.
How does that change the way you see other people, especially in ministry?
If I could just share with myself, there was a year, 2018, I experienced a whole lot of betrayal. Mm. And I was like, I'm done with people. Tanisha, that's my wife, is me and her against the world. And through prayer, the Holy Spirit revealed to me, you will never be an effective spiritual physician if you keep getting sick from everybody you're trying to treat.
Mm. Wow.
And that changed my life. So I don't just heal for myself. I don't just heal for my marriage, for my children, for my bloodline, but for my calling. So that every person that I meet new, I don't view them as Judas immediately.
Right.
Yeah. Right? I view them as this is somebody that the Lord is entrusting me to help see Him until there's something else seen. So I walk with this relational management skill, 1,000, 72, 12, 3. And I got it from Jesus.
Okay.
He spoke to thousands. Yeah. He sent out 72. He selected 12, but He was vulnerable with 3.
Wow.
That changed my life.
So what does that mean for you?
So like how 3, Peter, James, John.
Right, right.
All the disciples. So for me, I have my 3. So I don't overshare social media to thousands.
Yeah, okay.
I don't bleed in front of the 72.
Right.
I have my 3. So that also, like, that's that perspective, also has helped with making sure that a lot of pain isn't recycled.
Did God just drop that on
just
you?
I was studying the Lord, man. I just noticed He spoke to thousands. Because there were times where He would only take Peter, James, and John.
Yeah.
I'm like,
why would He do that? Right.
Why? Mount Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John.
Yeah.
Garden of Gethsemane, y'all stay here. Peter, James, and John. And so I said, oh, the Lord has relational management. But it's so brilliant. Judas wasn't at the Mount of Transfiguration, you see?
Yeah.
And so just learning, I really study him to learn that even in life he had skills that if we pick up can help our hearts too.
So, okay, so a lot of what I hear you talking about, you know, in heart rehab and just in our conversation is basically saying that you're going to learn how to live life, mm-hmm. navigate relationships, but sort of just work out what God has done in your life by going to Scripture,
yeah,
learning, mm-hmm. and putting it into action.
That's it.
Is that pretty safe to say?
That's it.
And what does that continue to do for your life, yeah. for your family, for your church? Because, I mean, that's yeah. formulaic, but kind of scriptural and yeah. simple in a formula, even yeah. though the details are a little difficult. But yeah. what's it done for you?
It's made me to be honest.
Okay.
For me to present a real version of myself versus a put-together, customized, well-digestible version of who Jerry should be.
Yeah. Some who should Jerry be?
Who God called me to be. And that's the book. So there was this time I was reading Scripture, and this passage of Scripture was bothering me when he was speaking to Jeremiah, and he said, "Before you and your mother's womb, I knew you. Mm-hmm. Ordained you a prophet to the nation." Okay? "Before you and your mother's womb, I knew you." Then we see Jesus later say, many on that day will say, "Lord, Lord." And then at the end of that, he said, "I will tell them, surely I never knew you. Depart from me." Hmm. Hold on. "Before you and your mother's womb, I knew you. Depart from me, I never knew you." And so I'm sitting there chasing it, and I'm like, man, I wonder if Jeremiah was ordained to be a prophet, any other version of himself that he would have became is not the you that God created him to be.
Okay.
So it's possible for you to become a version of yourself that God never ordained for you to be. This version of you was never intimate with me. This version of you never surrendered to me.
Yeah.
This version of you is what culture called you to be. Yeah. It wasn't who I called you to be.
Wow.
So you lost you. Hmm. So the beauty of this book is to get you to a place where I'm the original version of myself that God called me to be. I'm in a relationship with him so that he can remind me and show me who I'm discovered to be, who I'm called to be. So I think that for me has been like mind-blowing. Like, it's possible for you to take on another version of yourself.
Yeah.
Because of what everybody else said.
And you know what's sort of the most ironic part about it is the only way you can find the true you.
Come on.
Is to quit looking at you and look at Jesus. Because yeah. he created us.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. What do you say in the short time we have left to the person who's kind of watching this going, man, he's saying some things that are messing with the way I'm thinking. Yeah. I don't even know where to go from here. What do you say to encourage them today?
I would say you're at the best place that you could possibly be. Because when the Lord starts to do a wrecking ball in your life, this means he begins to tear down what you thought was truth so that he can introduce the real truth to you. So usually if you find yourself feeling wrecked, I think that's beautiful because God now can start to rebuild. So embrace it.
I love it. That's so true, though. Yeah. it doesn't always fit the way we think, but it's like, yeah, the best place to be is the end of me.
Yeah.
More him.
That's it.
That's it. Man, yes, thanks for sharing that. All right. The book is Heart Rehab. It's available wherever you get books. And we're going to show you something that if you're a part of our mission outreaches, then you understand this. But if you're new to this, I want to invite you into looking beyond yourself in a way that will actually help you find who God has created you to be, because God has called us to be generous people. God has called us to be a reflection of his light in a dark place. He has called us to help heal others in every way, including, in this case, the physical. Look at this and see how you can be a part of what God wants to do in your life and in the lives of others.
Je m'appelle Vivian. Je suis la maman de Élie et Élisée. Ils sont nés bien, c'est après j'ai constaté que les pieds à tête mal formée jusqu'à les pieds sont devenus barons. C'était difficile pour eux. Et pour moi aussi, il ne peut rien faire, il ne peut pas s'amuser, il ne peut pas aller, il ne peut pas sortir, mais il ne peut pas courir.
Every day, thousands of children are born with or grow up with physical conditions that are entirely correctable. For families, the impact is profound. Simple activities become discouraging. Hope feels distant. But the solution is not unknown. Corrective surgeries can restore function, dignity, and hope.
Cure does a lot of things, and one of them is really to touch people's lives, both spiritually, physically. Just the ability to give people hope, the ability to be able to come to Cure, and the first thing that we do is actually invite you and give you a hug, say that we love you, and we do this because actually Christ asked us to do this.
Our medical mission partners who perform these life-changing surgeries face a critical challenge: the urgent need to expand their surgical facilities so that children requiring corrective care are not forced to wait. That is why Life Outreach International needs your help, so that together we can provide the resources necessary for this expansion and ensure that no child in need of surgery is ever turned away.
I want you to take a look again at those two children, because what you saw at the end there was before and after. When you look at the before, you see how difficult it is for those children. I don't know how they're walking, but they get around. But you know what? It's difficult. When you see those after pictures, the children running, that is such a beautiful picture of what's happening right now with our partners there in Zimbabwe at that hospital. But listen, they need more space. They need more surgical rooms so that they can accommodate more children. Those doctors are so dedicated. Those brothers and sisters in Christ with you and I who are followers of Jesus, the first thing they do with a child who's coming in for surgery is they pray with them. They share God's love in word and deed. And that's why I so love this outreach. That is the calling of Life Outreach International, the word and the deed. We pray, we give them the medical attention that they need. I love those doctors who say we are tools in God's hands. And you know what? Their skill, their time, their expertise, they give freely. Those children, the families of those children, they don't pay a thing for those surgeries. Their lives are changed because of the love of God and the support of people just like you. But right now, they are not able to have the full impact that they could have. And that's why we're coming to you today. We want you to be a part of a $600,000 project, because that's what it'll take to renovate this hospital so that they can accommodate more children. They come from all over. Zimbabwe is situated in southern Africa, right in the middle. It has the potential to be a place of even greater impact if we can complete this project. We are calling it the Hope for Children Project, because that's exactly what it is. That's what I'm asking you to give today. Will you go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can? We have some gifts we'd love to put in your hands if you'd request it. But I want you to be a part of giving hope to so many children that desperately need it. It's somewhat simple for you and I. Those doctors are doing the hard part. We just need to come together right now, quickly, and say, yes, we will reach that goal. I'd love to reach it before the end of the television campaign. Some of you can really help knock that out. But I pray that you would just say a quick prayer and do as God leads you. You can give hope. You can give a new opportunity at life for so many children. Will you do it right now? We really need to hear from you. Go online, go to the phone, make the best gift that you can.
Many children in Africa are born with severe deformities or suffer life-altering injuries. Conditions like club feet, windswept legs, and untreated fractures force them to live in pain because help is out of reach. But you can offer healing today. Our mission partner in Zimbabwe runs a children's hospital, now at capacity, and in urgent need of renovation and expansion. With a $600,000 goal and only a short period of time to raise the necessary funds, your best gift today helps children receive the surgical care they need at no cost to the families. Together, we can heal precious lives and reveal the love of Jesus. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you the Global Impact of Life Journal. Featuring inspiring photos from life's outreaches, this beautiful journal is a reminder that your prayers and partnership are making a global difference. With your gift of $126 or more, you may request a Life of Compassion coffee table book, capturing Life Outreach's heart for the world. Each page pairs timeless Bible verses with vivid mission field photography, making God's Word visible in action. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,026 to help with the expansion of operating rooms so children are no longer turned away, and request Life's beautiful bronze sculpture, The Good Shepherd. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Right now, there are children whose lives are limited by physical conditions so severe that most families have no hope for their child ever living a life without pain. The good news is there's an answer waiting for them through corrective surgeries at no cost to their family. But with the good news comes a challenge. Our medical mission partner simply doesn't have the surgical capacity to meet the growing number of children needing surgery. The solution is for them to renovate their surgical facilities, thereby expanding the ability and upgrading their abilities to perform more surgeries. That's where you come in. By supporting Life's Medical Missions Outreach, Hope for Children Project, our partner no longer will have to turn children away. I want to invite you to please stand with us today. Your generosity can help ensure that children who desperately need these corrective surgeries will not face long waiting periods and can begin living a life they have once thought was never possible. God bless you and thank you for your support.
I do hope you'll call right now. Pick up that phone, go to the website, just be a part of a beautiful outreach. And we need to hear from you soon because this is a short-term thing. We got to get this thing going. We got to get those kids in there and get them healed. So appreciate you being a part of it. Appreciate you listening today. And Jerry, I appreciate you being on the program. For anybody that wants to follow up with you, see what's going on, what's the best website for them to hit?
RedefineTV.net.
RedefineTV.net. All right,
yes, sir.
Great, man. I appreciate you and the word you're sharing.
Thank you.
Blessings down there in Houston and all the people that come. Hey, we appreciate you being here. Come back. We've got more great guests. I want you to be a part of it next time on Life Today.
Entrepreneur Don Castasu broke free from poverty, overcame pain and heartache, and now helps women everywhere find their God-given purposes.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.